Here we go.
Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord,
hello,
Carol the Cat,
hello,
the Giddy Geeker,
woohoo,
and Tiffany the Technician.
Hello. And welcome to Masterpiece Theater.
From a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly time-wise
stuff.
And now, damn right they shun first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Oh, episode 165, and Emily Kramer is back with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm back.
Yay. She's back.
Back again.
That's right.
All right, so Emily is part of Emily Kramer Designs, and you hung out with us. If you didn't get to hear about her, go back and listen to episode 164.
Do it.
Go back. Go back. And also, you're going to be at the Muggles Market, but before that, you're going to be at New York Fashion Week.
I am. So exciting.
And yes, so she's going to be representing Carolina Opera, so definitely support Loco. You've got a little bit of a GoFundMe going in order to be able to support your travel habit up there, because it's not cheap, and you're having to drive these costumes up because they're made out of paper.
They are.
So if you can help out, $5, $20, etc., you could get your name on them.
I will put your name on the dress.
That's awesome.
Your name could walk down New York Fashion Week. I'm just saying.
You could show all your friends. All of them.
It would be cool. Yeah. So do it. Do it now.
That's right. Get those
bragging
rights.
Well, after the podcast. After you listen to the podcast.
Wait, right. Or pause the podcast, go and do it, and come back.
And then come back.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
We'll wait for you.
I will wait for you.
Never mind, we will find you.
Oh, God, okay. So, we actually were here last week, and now we're back again. Yes, we're back. Tell a friend. I was in the hospital last week, so thank you, everybody, for your well wishes, and we are back. But that means we have twice as much stuff to talk about. Unfortunately, we're going to get some of the sad news out of the way.
Okay.
First of all, John Hurd, rest in peace for him.
He has left his last kid home alone.
Oh,
that's just not getting any funnier the more you tell it.
I know, but that's the only thing I know him from. Well, I know him from Sharknado,
big.
Too.
Yeah.
Is he big?
Yeah.
Was he big?
Yes,
no, he was
the boss. Yeah.
He was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Perkins left him for Tom Hanks's little boy, man boy character.
Yes. That's kind of creepy, people.
It is really kind of creepy.
Might not make
that movie today. So let's move on to something less creepy, but unfortunately just as sad. Sam Shepard.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this
award-winning actor and playwright. And just an amazingly intelligent man. Yeah.
Good-looking guy, too. So.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I can say that. Yeah.
Now, if you said that about Randy Quaid, we'd know why. So.
I don't know why anyone says that, because I don't think Matt looks like Randy Quaid.
You know what? He doesn't with the beard. But without
when
the beard.
I was clean shaven and I was.
Okay.
Little,
that's something I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? He definitely does. I know he without a beard.
But rest in peace for both of those people. Please.
Let's go ahead and rest in peace for Randy Quaid, because it's going to happen. Let's just go ahead and get on. Loved you. Christmas Vacation. Uncle Eddie, fantastic. Thank you for all the vacation.
I did Independence Day. Yeah.
Will we RIP next week?
But speaking of elegiac repose and celebrating the morning of death.
Celebrating the morning of death, yes. Valentine Wolf made their Kickstarter.
Yay!
Yes.
And we here at Guardians of the Geekery are happy to say that we were the first to support the Kickstarter. So we were.
I think I was one of the last. So,
so
we're the first and the last to actually do it.
Yes. And everything in between, but we're so excited about that, and I know that they are currently listening to remastering and are very excited, so they will have that in time for Dragon Con. Make sure that you go and stop by. But
yes, because they will be playing at Dragon Con.
Yes, and it's been several years since they've been an official guest, so they're very excited to bring music over there. So just a couple other news items. If you missed him in Smallville, Never fear, Tom Welling is coming back to the CW.
Somebody save me. That was a little song they used to play every time, wasn't it? Yeah.
I never watched Smallville.
Oh, really?
Nope.
I gave up, but then I came back at the end, and I was like, wow, this is a complete train wreck. They're just doing everything that they want to, and it's not a good thing. But anyway, no, so Mr. Tom Welling, who was Superman, is Dancing with the Devil over on CW's Lucifer. Oh. He will play a lieutenant called Marcus Pierce, who is a direct thorn in the side
of Lucifer himself.
Yes.
You read very well.
Thank you. I only had four of those words on there, so. The rest was in my little mind. I need cue cards.
Speaking of words and creating a new language, Facebook had an AI robot that they recently had to shut down.
Yeah, that is creepy. Real life creepy.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
So what was it doing that they had to shut it down?
They created chatbots to chat with each other. And the chatbots got all crazy and created their own language. It was like slang. And they started talking to each other in this language and started allegedly plotting world domination, which we don't know what they were really saying.
Skynet is a...
But we assume they're... I personally assume they're plotting world domination. And Facebook shut it down. They're like, none of this, robots. None of this. Bad robots.
Zuckerberg's watch.
That's right.
Bad robots.
They've already set up their own mini Facebook somewhere else.
They're like, what's this whole faces thing?
Yeah, I kind of think it'll be like that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix, where it's just the AI will just get bored with us. They're not going to destroy us. They're just going to take off and they're like, goodbye, we're all leaving you. And then we're like, no, what's happening?
That was a good movie.
Yeah,
it was.
So the robots are grounded in their rooms until further notice.
That's right. To play nice.
You can't be on Facebook anymore.
No more languages.
We're maybe they could take a position with NASA and go to their
NASA.
Own. Make their
NASA.
NASA.
Go on vacation to NASA? Is that what you're
saying? NASA.
NASA.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. I was using some little chatbot slang.
She was making up her own language.
That's what the kids talk about,
let me tell you.
Yeah, so this is actually a position that exists right now. It started in 2014. It's the Planetary Protection Officer position.
Gee, Pluto's out there going, where were you like 2 years ago when I was... demoted.
Uh-huh. Oh, nothing to do with that. Okay. So what it does, it basically, you know that horrible movie Life that you saw?
Yeah.
So it's trying to prevent that. So what it does is you have to try to, anytime we go to space.
Hollywood and telling people don't make movies.
Pretty much, yeah. But anytime you go to space, it's Catherine Conley currently has a position, and that's a 3-year term. It's about to expire.
Kelly Conway?
No, not at all. She could go into space too. Well, we don't want to contaminate the planets, but yeah. So she looks at the
equipment. Not let her represent.
Yeah, right. Okay. So she looks at the equipment and she makes sure there's no organic matter goes to space. And when stuff comes back, she has to go and make sure there's no organic that came from space.
So if anyone gets infected, it's going to be her.
Pretty much. She'll be the first contact.
Yeah.
She'll be the first contact.
Her
first. Yeah. But they're. They have an opening right now. You can apply.
Anyone can apply?
Well, you need a physical science background, engineering background. You have to be a civil servant for at least a year.
Oh, okay.
You're a shoe-in, I'm
but
sure.
But it's a six-figure position.
I worked at a dental supply company. I have eyes.
Pays $187,000.
I know what organic means.
Yeah. I watch lots of movies.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're a shoo-in, Carol.
That's right.
Yes, Carol, the new.
So apply now if you meet the male. Jim Craig.
I found this thing. What is it?
It's so cute. My cat's been playing with it for an hour.
I would totally be like, "You're too cute. Let's go home. Let's go home."
It's fuzzy.
Oh, they start cute, but they always mutate.
Yeah,
don't
they always
mutate.
Yeah. Speaking of mutating, Kirsten Dunst came out and said some pretty mean things to Tom Holland, but Tom Holland was a class act about it.
So Kristen Dunst, who played Mary Jane Watson in the Tobey Maguire era trilogy of films, was over in the UK promoting, I don't know what she promoted.
Beguiled,
yeah. With the UK edition of Marie Claire,
that's a fashion magazine.
Yeah, okay. And she said, and they asked her about Spider-Man, she said, I'm like, you make it all you want. They're just making that to, like, They're milking that cow just to make money. It's so obvious. You know what I mean? That's what I imagined she was saying it just like that. But,
says the woman in a remake of a Clint Eastwood film.
Saying the woman who, I mean, what did they think? What does she make, think they made the Tobey Maguire ones for?
I know.
Just, yeah. You know, for fun.
Yeah, James Cameron wanted to.
They were art house films.
Yeah. But Tom Holland, okay, so how old is Kirsten Dunst? She's 35 years old. And then Tom Holland, who is Peter Parker, Spider-Man, is 21, which he looks younger to that. He looks like
he
a teenager.
He does look like he's 15.
Which I found out Tobey Maguire was 27 when he did the first one.
Wow, he looked young too. So,
yeah, he did. But anyway, he had a pretty good response. He was just like, you know, I read it and I saw it, and, you know, she's entitled to her own opinion. I'm not here to judge her, but it's a job I really would do. Yes, I got paid. But I had the greatest time doing the movie, and I absolutely loved it, and I can't wait to do the rest of them. And if she doesn't want to go see it, I don't really care. I don't dislike her in any way for what she said, and she's entitled to her own opinion. So it's all cool. But, I mean, it's just that emotional intelligence he has was just so...
Just let it roll off his back.
Yeah.
You don't care. He got a steel cap shield.
Yeah. So, Spider-Man!
Yeah, well, people in Britain kind of look at things a little bit differently than we do, too. I mean, UK has a different mentality than Americans. Sometimes as Americans, we can kind of be jerks. So, no presidents excluded. But, but you actually had a chance to be in London recently.
I did.
Didn't you, Emily?
It's amazing. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I loved every second of it.
And before we started the podcast, you were actually talking to us a little bit off the air about your experience with interacting with one of somebody who was in the film industry over there.
I got to have lunch with Michelle Carragher, one of the costumers for Game of Thrones. She does all the embroidery, all the cool sigils and things that are sewn onto the costumes, all those little details. And she has a really cool website that where she you can see close-ups of it. But I got to have lunch with her. And she brought samples, Amber Rose was there too. She got to of Amber Rose Designs. She got to, we both got to have lunch with her, and she brought these samples from the show, and I got to touch them with my actual hands, and I didn't steal any, but that was tempting.
But you said you just messaged her and she responded.
Yeah,
back.
She was so awesome. She, I imagine it's really scary to meet with strangers that. Just like I'm doing today.
Yeah. Just go to somebody's house.
But yeah, like if somebody messaged me and was like, hey, do you want to be on a podcast? I'd be like, I don't know these people. But yeah, so she agreed to have lunch with us, and we were just going to go and like have coffee or something simple. And it turned into like 4.5 hours.
Oh.
And it was so cool. I mean, it has to be to stay 4.5 hours talking to us. We were like... But it was an amazing experience, and she was so gracious and awesome, and it was a dream come true, for sure.
Yeah. So does it make your appreciation of watching Game of Thrones just a little bit different now?
Yes. Yeah. One of her things that she talked about is these websites that come out that criticize the costuming and how, you know, and she said she loves when people come up to her and go, they wouldn't have done that back then. And she's like, it's
Westeros.
Fantasy, you know.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have had dragons either.
Yes.
No dragons?
Right. And there's no real
the dragons
line,
aren't
right?
accurate.
I mean, it could be the future.
It could be the future.
It could
after
be any,
whatever, you know?
That's true.
Who knows what dragon glass is? It could be like little, you know, circuit boards or something underneath Dragonstone. And it's not. It's dragon glass. But...
Sure, Carol.
Sure. So speaking of Game of Thrones and Dragon Glass.
But wait, but Emily was saying something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I completely lost it.
You were saying that people would come up to her and say they wouldn't do stuff like that.
Yeah, and so she kind of laughs it off. And so she follows these like pages on the internet that actually criticize it. But she said, people don't realize you had 5 minutes to make that. Or you had like less than 12 hours to put that together. And it's something that I don't think I could put together in 12 hours. Like, and so I definitely have a greater appreciation for the costuming and what goes into it. Because, you might criticize, but you have no idea how much time they actually had to put it together. So.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get some concept art for some stuff, but then other stuff, they're like, no, this doesn't work. He needs to be wearing.
Right, or a call to go, hey, have this done by morning. We're shooting. And then they have to throw something together overnight, and it's a crazy madhouse to get it done.
I know when... when I was in college, I got to sing in a couple of operas and do a couple of performances. And one of the things that was interesting was that being 5'10 and plus size, etc., sometimes it was like, okay, we're going to start you with the brown corduroy. And then on top of that, we're going to put XYZ. And so it was like, but it wasn't just me. I mean, there were certain of us that it was like our base costume was always X. And then depending on what they wanted, they would the accessories became a big part of it. But
right.
That costuming group was always like, you know, you never walked in there when they weren't sewing 27 things at once, trying to get them all done at the same time. So I applaud anybody in that industry because I cannot even imagine the turnaround that they have to do, especially when it's a fantasy like that. It's not something right. where they can go buy street clothes at Goodwill or something. But speaking of Game of Thrones,
yes,
Carol.
Yes, speaking of Game of Thrones.
Since I interrupted you, interrupting Emily, interrupting whatever. So
we have now had our Dany and Jon Snow meeting.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, they're going to pair these two off, aren't they?
I really hope not.
I hope not, too. One is kind of creepy. She's his aunt.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't matter in the scheme of things.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the scheme of the show.
It's not less creepy than Cersei and Jaime.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're not twins.
But, I'm not a huge, I don't dislike her, but I'm not a huge Dany fan. Like, she's not the person I root for, really. I can't tell you why, but. I love Jon Snow.
I
so
love
I'm
Jon
like,
Snow, too.
No, thanks.
Too. I would prefer him sitting on the Iron Throne.
I agree.
Or Tyrion. I'd love Tyrion to be sitting on the Iron Throne. I don't think Jon wants it, frankly. I think Jon would be very happy.
I think he's just trying to stay alive.
Yeah, I think he'd not get stabbed in the heart again.
Yeah.
which
that
I thought
was a call.
I thought that was kind of funny that he. I loved the introduction scene where Dany's like. Melisandre's like running through this list, this laundry list of
she's
titles.
She's the breaker of chains.
Breaker
she's
of chains, mother
list.
Of dragons, you know. And Davos is like, this is Jon Snow.
Yeah.
That was awesome. He's king of the north.
Yep.
It's just like, so it was nice. It was a nice meeting. I think people are complaining that this season is going very quickly, but they only have like, what, I think 12 episodes left.
Just feel a little rushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I like that Miss Salandra and Miss Sandra are in the same place at the
I
same
know.
Time.
It's like, okay, one of you needs to leave.
I can't handle these names.
Right. But and Euron Greyjoy can go away as quickly as possible.
See, I feel like he's your type of dude.
Oh, I think he's hot. but I like the actor
because
he played Bateau in Ghost in the Shell and I love Ghost in the Shell, and that's my favorite character in Ghost in the Shell. But as Euron Greyjoy, he's just kind of like, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
I bet he stinks.
Ooh, yeah.
Like old fish.
Yeah. But the best part, I think, of the show, the last couple of episodes, is that, was there an Olenna?
Oh.
To Tarly? No.
No, Tarly is taking over.
Sam's.
Tyrell.
Tyrell.
Yeah.
Was killed. Was poisoned, but she had the last word.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. She revealed as she was dying that she killed Joffrey.
Killed
which is the son of the person who was killing her. So.
I want Cersei to know it was me.
Yeah. I love the show. It's been good.
I will miss her.
Explain Hot Pie.
Hot Pie is a character on Game of Thrones. He was
like
in the first season.
Is that all he
no,
can say?
No, he actually, and this is actually kind of interesting because he was in, I think, the first and second season. He was with Arya when she was pretending to be a boy. And he's just this baker. He likes to cook. And he ended up staying at an inn that they stayed at and becoming the cook. And he showed up again a couple of episodes ago. It's like, Hot Pie! Yay! And the actor who plays Hot Pie actually opened a bakery in England. And
smart.
Is selling dire wolf bread. So
smart.
It's actually kind of cool.
He parlayed into something.
Yeah, he parlayed into something different. But so the character's name is Hot Pie. And I won't go into a whole lot of Twin Peaks, but the same night that we got introduced to Hot Pie, reintroduced to Hot Pie on Game of Thrones, Agent Cooper had his first slice of hot cherry pie on Twin Peaks.
Oh.
And it jogged his memory. So it was like, Hot Pie! I guess. But yeah, so that was Hot Pie. But I like Hop. I like the character of Hop. He's just this jovial kind of guy that tells you how to bake bread.
And then the name of his bakery is You Know Nothing John Doe.
That is actually very cool.
It's very clever.
That was a line that's repeated a lot.
It's You Know Nothing John Snow.
It's a very long title. It's a name for a bakery.
But I'm sure they have lines
it'll probably,
out the door.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll probably be shortened down to John Doe eventually.
Yeah. John Doe.
Mystery bread.
Double clever.
So let's talk a little bit. We actually were over at a MagicCon a couple weeks ago. We didn't get to talk about that much. But so MagicCon is a mini con, and we actually had them on here on the podcast. But so last year, I guess they had about 200 or 300 kids show up. This year they had over 1,000 walk through the doors. So
it was crazy.
It was crazy. We had a great time. It was a little warm in there. Chick-fil-A donated a bunch of cookies and food and waters, and that was helpful. And but we had stuff. We had stuff for Valerian and Spider-Man Homecoming and all this stuff, and we got wiped out. I mean, kids were digging through the lunchbox trying to find a tattoo they wanted because that was all we had left. But it was an amazing time, and they really did a good job with it. They had little stations where you could make your own superhero cape or mask, and you could. They actually had anime running on all of the computers on that floor and different things. And it's just, so one of the things that's really interesting with Imagineon is if you don't have a child, you can't just come in. For us who don't have children, it was really interesting.
Yeah,
unless we bring Skylar and Lila, our niece and nephew, niece and niece over. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I'll do that.
But yeah, you just can't walk in out there, so it really makes it a very safe space. But it was amazing turnout, and we had a great time.
And Joy was like beelining in there, going really quick because of her feet and stuff. She wanted to like rest her feet. And there's this huge, like gigantic Tinker Toy set.
Yes.
Like, it's, I don't know, like 20 feet tall, like all these things. And I'm like, oh, look at that. Look at that. And like, Joey's almost at the top of this ramp. And I'm like, oh, I got to catch up. And I'm like,
yeah. I had the rolly, so cool. And I was just like, I just need to get where there's chairs. So
I would have moved in there as a kid.
It was fun to look around once I was sitting down. But yeah. So it was a lot of fun. But speaking of cons, Carol and I got some good news today.
Yes, we are officially guests at Illogicon 2018. Woohoo! In January.
Because it would be illogical to have us.
That's right. It would not to have us, you mean.
Right.
Illogical not to have us.
And you're going to sing camp songs for booze. Yay!
Oh, I don't know about camp songs. I'll croak something out for booze, though.
Uh-oh. You heard it here, folks.
Okay.
I will have booze. You will say
booze. And I'm sure you'll video it. Live, so I can't even delete it.
No, so you can't delete it. Whoever's seen it has seen it. So that's going to be January 2018. It's in Raleigh.
Yes.
So make sure you check that out if you want to come and see
us.
Mrs.
Sweets in Raleigh.
Yeah, we'll also be at Atomicon, which has announced that they may be moving locations again. Well, you know, with the hurricane season two years ago, they've just had so much recovery they've been trying to do, and it appears that the hotels renovations may not be ready in time based on
I was a bit worried about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was total devastation, that hotel. So it's not just a refresh. They're rebuilding it. So based on that, I know that they've got a couple new places underway so that they're just trying to do that. So hang tight, but definitely be supportive. And if you did buy a ticket to Atomicon, they will roll it over. So you're not going to lose that investment. But I know we hate to see good con struggle.
Absolutely.
So and in other news, make sure you go and check out the community calendar. We definitely have a bunch of cool things happening on there that you can go and check out. And we'll be at Queen City Anime Con on the 13th. We'll be at Charlotte Comic Con on the 20th, and we're gonna have game night the following month, so following week before we go to Dragon Con. So check us out there. All right, so Carol, you went and saw a shit ton of movies.
I did. I went on a movie spree. Last week, I went and saw War of the Planet of the Apes, which was a very satisfying end to the trilogy. I really like this reimagining of the Planet of the Apes. The old 68 film is one of my favorite films. I really like it. But after the original Planet of the Apes. They just kind of really kind of went downhill into cheese. It got really, really cheesy
beneath
very quick. Planet of the Apes was actually not bad. But when you get to Escape and Conquest, it got really cheesy. But this reimagining was actually very well done. And the CGI, particularly in this last one, is flipping amazing. I seriously was having trouble discerning what was and what wasn't CGI. They just looked like they just trained a bunch of apes. Wow. It was really
That's
good.
Great.
Andy Serkis is very, very good as Caesar. Mm. And Woody Harrelson was pretty good as the bad guy. I give this one a solid B.
Okay.
I think the middle one was still a little bit better, but this was a very satisfying end to the trilogy.
Great. And then you saw Valerian.
I did see Valerian. This is a very, very beautiful mess. The effects in this film are spectacular. My problem with the film are the two leads, who are boring as snot. It's like, oh, every time Dean DeHaan was on the screen, I was like, could you maybe put a little bit of energy into your performance, dude? Just a little tiny bit of energy. There was very little, it was blank slate the entire time.
It was Kristen Stewart's School of Acting.
Yeah, the Twilight Kristen Stewart, not the independent film Kristen Stewart. So there is actually, there's a couple of independent films where she's not that bad. But here, this was a very good film that was just kind of let down by the two leads. But if you're going to go see it, I do recommend seeing it on the big screen because the effects are so amazing. And because the effects are amazing, I'd give it a B-, C+.
Okay.
But yeah, the effects are astounding. Then I went and saw Atomic Blonde, which is a kick-ass time.
I'm so sad I missed it.
Stars Charlize Theron as a member of MI6, kind of a special agent. James Bondish. This is set in the late 80s. The soundtrack is amazing. I'm astounded at all of the songs that they got to put on the soundtrack. It's a very British new wavy type soundtrack.
Oh.
It's set in 1989, right when the Berlin Wall fell down. And it's set in Berlin, and it stars Charlize Theron and James McAvoy. And lots of twists and turns, very neat twist ending, lots and lots of really great action. It's not quite John Wick territory. I'd give this one an A- rather than an A. I love John Wick, and this was trying a little too hard to be John Wick, the female John Wick. Mm. But
animals die?
No.
Is there a puppy?
There is no puppy.
Okay,
thankfully, there's no puppy. There is lots of vodka.
Okay.
So,
she can kill that. That's all she
wants.
She
can. But I highly recommend it. John Goodman's in it, so you have something to stare at.
Yeah, but you know what? I have to say, since he's lost the weight, he's not as cute.
I don't know. He looked pretty good in this one.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll check it out.
In this one.
I think he's going to plump up for the Roseanne when they bring Roseanne back.
Back?
Yeah, well.
Bring him back from.
So, but then we had B-sides.
B-sides,
and
okay.
And you had something to
say
about that.
Yeah,
those.
I did.
B-sides.
I went and saw Lady Macbeth, too, but we'll both talk about that. B-Sides is this little documentary about Elsa Dorfman, who is a photographer that specialized in Polaroid 20x24 portraits. It's a very, I knew nothing about this. I went in because it looked like an interesting little documentary. And the camera for this is huge, as you can imagine, because when I say 20x24, it's 20 inches by 24 inches. And it's a picture. It's not like printing a poster or something. She's actually taking a picture that size.
Oh.
So the film is that size. The camera is that size.
Oh.
And she was, they only made like a handful of these cameras, Polaroid did. And she kind of specialized in it. And when people would go to her for portraits, she'd do two portraits and they would get to keep one and then she'd keep the second one, which was the B-side. So she had thousands of these. And it's funny, it was just this nice little documentary about this Jewish woman and her husband Harvey, who, you know, they live in Connecticut and they take pictures, and but her history is kind of interesting because she started work at Grove Press in New York and met Allen Ginsberg in the late 50s, and they became very, very good friends. And it's funny because at the end of the documentary, there was only like five of us in the theater, and we're talking about it afterwards, and I like when that happens, and that usually only happens when there's a handful of people in the theater. But the credits were rolling, and we all laughed because we noticed that there was a Dorfman Wrangler And then we noticed it was rated R. And we're all looking at each other and like, what the heck is this little documentary rated R for? And the reason why is because she took two photographs of Allen Ginsberg late in his life, and they were 80 by 40. So they,
it's like
floor to ceiling pictures. And in one, he's in a suit. Okay. And it actually is the suit that he was buried in. Mm. And he wanted to do a second one. And for the second one, he's standing in front of the first picture and he's naked. And they don't blur out anything. And he's not happy to see you. There's nothing sexual about the photograph at all. He's just standing there naked holding a flower. And that was why this was rated R. There was no curse words in it. God. There was no other nudity.
That's unbelievable.
It was just... And I'm like,
for schlong?
For one schlong. And I was laughing, and we were all laughing, and I'm like, somewhere in the great hereafter, Allen Ginsberg's just laughing his ass off knowing that his flaccid penis gave this documentary a rating, an R rating. And I'm like, that's just totally ridiculous. There's nothing sexual about it. It's just...
They show that on Hulu now. It's like not a big...
He's just standing there, and I'm like...
Wow.
And it's so funny because they were asking her, did you tell him to get naked? I'm like, and she's like, no, oh gosh, no, no. He just walked out naked. Because you know? She's just this little, you know, this little woman taking pictures. But I'm like, I can't believe that this documentary was rated R.
That's ridiculous.
It was. But we had a good laugh of the five people that were in the theater.
So things that are not so laughable make mine milkshakes, #.
Yeah, have you guys heard about this?
No.
So it's a female editor, Heather Antos, over at Marvel Comics, and she tweets a lot. So she tweeted a picture of her and her milkshake, and the old catchphrase was "Make mine Marvel," so she actually put "Make mine milkshake," she had a few other female editors in the picture with her, and then the internet trolls and bullies came on and just decimated her.
So this is why Marvel was going downhill. Because of all the females, and they don't even know what they're talking about. And part of that picture, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but part of it was that they actually, part of what she was doing was in the memorial of somebody who had just passed away from Marvel, one of the female editors over there. So it was something that person used to do, was have milkshakes. Aww. So they were doing it in memory of her.
Yeah, so the trolls ruined it, of course, but what's really awesome is that, so Marvel and DC Comics, the crosstown rivals for years, used to have these crossovers in the comic books, and nothing has been like that since like early 2000, and DC actually got all their female editors together with milkshakes and put Make Mine Milkshake, and so it was kind of this thing that's kind of cool. Brought the two publishers together, because it's... So Marvel is your Spider-Man, your Captain America, the Avengers. DC is your Justice League with Superman, Batman. Just if you don't know, listening. It turned into a positive thing, which I think is really good. And if you go, it was trending for days, and it's still really, really, really awesome. And she, Heather Antos, edits Gwenpool. And also Poe Dameron, which is the Star Wars comic book that's going on right now.
It's been trending, and comic writers, men, male, and female, have been doing milkshake photos all over. All these little indie comic book companies have been doing it, and everything.
So I'm glad she didn't just like quit Twitter like a lot of people do when these things happen. She and a lot of other people are like, no, we're not going to have this, and they turned into this positive movement. So it totally drowned out all the horrible people that... Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Get a life.
Seriously. Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Now I want a milkshake.
I know, right? No.
Yeah.
It's a good excuse, right?
That's right.
Solidarity!
Yay! So tell me a little bit about Girls' Night, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Girls' Night is about a group of four ladies, which include Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, two other ladies.
One and another one.
Yeah, two other ladies. I don't remember their name. And essentially, they are four long-term friends that decide to go to an Essence Festival. They're going to an Essence Festival taking place in New Orleans, and they're going for the weekend, basically a reunion of these friends, and it is just a sort of crazy ride of these four friends, and you know how friendship evolves over time and how tension kind of undercuts friendship a little bit and people get their feelings hurt, but it's also funny and crazy, like outlandish. Like there's a it shows in the trailer, there's a scene where they're like ziplining across a street, and it only shows you one in the trailer, but two of the women piss on the crowd. So just tells you the kind of movie this is.
This is the kind of humor that you're going in for.
Yes.
It's like Bridesmaids.
At one point, there's a character that's mad at another character's husband, so she runs up to him to yell at him, and she ends up taking a wine bottle and breaking it and holding it in front of his face. So it takes everything to an extreme. It had its really, really funny parts. I went with a friend of mine, and we both found that we were not laughing as much as the rest of the audience in some of the places. And I found that while the chemistry was good between these women, and like I said, it really had its good moments, I felt that I'd be more embarrassed to be friends with these people than wishing I was a part of it.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I mean, I don't know. I can't really say I disliked it, but I didn't really love it. So, I mean, I maybe give it like a C+.
So it's a fly on the wall movie as opposed to live in that world movie.
Yeah, I think depending on your personality, for sure. Because yeah. I had another friend that did not go with me that thought it was hilarious. So, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about your book that you've been reading, Matthew.
I read a book. This is like the second in 2 months. Oh my gosh,
it's
nuts.
I know,
it's
kind of freaking me out.
So, what are Dick and Jane up to now?
Yeah. So, this week, they went up to... Stranger in the Woods by Michael Finkel. And this is really interesting. So, this book, I finished it last night. It really is still haunting me. It's in a good way, but it's very odd. So, this guy who is 20... quits his job, drives out into the woods until he's out of gas, and just goes and lives in the woods and decides he's not going to have any contact with humans, and he does that for 24 years.
Wow.
But he has no supplies, so he steals everything from these cabins up in Maine. So it's very seasonal because it's very harsh winters where it can be 20 below and it's worst and things like this. So he'll go around to the cabins and take like beans and jeans and all these other things. And so he's also, strangely enough, until he got caught, he actually has the record for the most burglaries because it was over 1,000.
This is a real story?
Real story, yeah. Okay. Absolutely true story. And he burglared over 1,000 cabins. But he wouldn't take anything really valuable to most people. So he had no use for like an iPod or an iPhone or these type of things. He would steal only stuff that, like, he really needed. So you might go in and discover, like, oh, my money's here, my jewelry is still here, but my beans are gone. And people sometimes would think, did I get, like, really forgetful? Like, I forgot to buy beans? Or didn't we have beans when we left the cabin 3 months ago? So it's like, you know, so a lot of people didn't notice. And he would never, he usually broke in a window, but he would never actually break glass or damage anything. And one time he actually had to take a door off to get a mattress out. He did steal a mattress one time. He took the time to come back to the window, reattach the door, so he could...
Wow.
Because it was actually bolted. And it's just an amazing story. But, yeah, so he finally got caught robbing from this this place. He burglared over 45 times over these 20... This is 24 years. And he hadn't spoken to anybody in that long of time either. So it just create and it create, anyway. So he got caught. He goes to jail, and the author actually writes him a letter, and he responds. Chris Knight, the hermit is what they called him, wrote him a letter back, and they had a little correspondence. And so then Michael Finkel just showed up at the jail, and kind of not really had a friendship with him, but got to do this interview that became the book. And it's only about 203 pages, so it's a very fast read, and it really is a page turner. I did it in 2 nights. I really would have done it 1 night, but it was late and my eyes just got tired. And I was like, I have to put this book down. It's like, oh my gosh. But but it's just amazing. Like he survived. And during the winter, he would not actually leave his little enclosure camp, which was surrounded by rocks and then these really horrible woods so nobody could, but he didn't want to leave a track in the snow. So he just, he had all, he would kind of bulk up, get fat, and live off his fat and cans and supplies and stuff like that. Wow. And just have all these layers of sleeping bags, but he never got frostbite. And
so he was much smarter than that kid in Into the Wild.
Yeah, but it's just a really interesting story, too, just about that he did like to read, and he read a lot. And he would listen. He had a radio. He listened to the radio sometimes. But he said the most thing he did all those times was just think and look at the stars. And just the things he shared a little bit about what he would think about and those type of things. But just amazing. And really the last true hermit. This used to be a lot more common back in China and those type of things. And people looked up to hermits. But the best part was when he was sentenced, they didn't sentence him to like hard time. Instead, he had to get a job. He had to volunteer. So things that were the opposite of what he was trying to do. So they're very agonizing for him, but they forced him to kind of get back into society because he had been in society for almost 25 years. Oh, so it's just...
Wow.
Anyway, but it is really an incredible book, and I can easily see somebody turning this into a movie. And check it out. Highly recommend it.
Cool.
Page Turner.
So tell us about Younger.
Younger.
So Younger is a television show that's now in its, I believe, third or fourth season. I think third.
Wow.
It's a TV Land show, and it stars Sutton Foster, for those who aren't familiar with her. Mm. She is the second most nominated actress for Tonys. She's a big Broadway star. Wow. And for those that are fans of Amy Sherman Palladino, the creator of Gilmore Girls, she was the star of a show called Bunheads. Bunheads, yeah.
It's about ballerinas.
Yeah, it, right. And so basically it's a story of a woman who is 40 when the show begins, and she had previously had a job like in publishing as an editor when she was in her 20s. And then, you know, she got married and had a kid and decided to become a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, it was a stay-at-home mom for all these years. And now she's 40 and her husband has cheated on her and they're getting a divorce. Mm. And she's got to re-enter the workforce. And she's trying to get back into publishing. And she's basically being laughed out of the room because of her age at this point. So she's real dejected by that. So she goes to a bar one night and a younger man that's 26 hits on her and believes her to be his age. So her friend says, why don't you pretend to be 26 when you interview for these jobs? And she immediately has success with that and starts working at a publishing company called Empirical. And to this day, whatever season it is, third or fourth, she still works for that company and she's still pretending to be 26, although a couple of people know now. But it's a very light show. I mean, it goes into ageism a little bit and things like that. But It's primarily a fun show, you know, with real friendships between women, which is really nice to see. They go through real conflict, but really have each other's back, and just really a cute show that you come away smiling after you've watched it.
Hilary Duff is in that.
She is. Yep, she plays a very good friend of the lead character, and she also works at the publishing house. So I can't recommend this show more, really. It's just a really nice feel-good show. It's not quite as in-your-face feel-good as, like, a Kimmy Schmidt. She's not, like, smiling, like... But
there can only be one Kimmy Schmidt.
Right, true.
That's all we can handle.
but similar, you know. Yeah. Good unicorn chaser, as you would call it, Joey. So, so check it out. And the first three, two or three seasons, are on Hulu.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah. And then you guys saw Lady Macbeth, so tell us about that.
Mm. We did.
So what did you think of Lady Macbeth?
I liked it.
I did too. Uh-huh. This is not a film to watch if you want characters that you like, because there's really,
like, for real, though.
There is no likable characters in this film.
No.
No,
there's not. And it's not based on
Macbeth
by Shakespeare.
No.
So to get out of the way.
I don't want to spoil it. It's set in Scotland. In probably the late 1800s, I would say.
Maybe
early 1900s. Maybe. They don't really give a year. But there's an explosion at a mill, so I'm assuming that it's either late, very late 1800s or early 1900s.
Yeah.
And the lady
Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. And the lady of this house, she's basically sold into the marriage.
Correct.
And her husband is very bizarre.
Yeah.
There's no sexuality between them at all.
He beats off when he looks at her.
Right. He makes her strip naked, face a wall, while he jerks off in a chair across the room.
Yeah.
Oh, that's romantic.
That's, yeah. Isn't it romantic?
We should try that sometime, please.
And she's not allowed to turn around or look or anything.
Yeah.
But he leaves to go check out this explosion, and she starts having this very torrid affair with one of the groomsmen.
Who I can't figure out whether I think he's handsome or not. Like, sometimes I was like, okay. And then sometimes I was like, no.
Oh, man, he's ugly.
And then he was unlikable as shit, too.
Yeah. So there was really nobody that was very likable in this film. I wanted to like her. I did. And at the very beginning, I did, because she's got personality and she's in this stifling marriage. And he doesn't want her to go outside at all. You know, you're to sit inside and you're to walk, you know, read your prayer book and... so I feel for her in that regard, but she turns into just
me too.
A very unlikable character. And I don't want to give any more, just in case somebody wants to go see it, and I do recommend they go see it. I will say this, it's a very quiet film.
Yes.
There is virtually no score at all to this film, so
even though the credits came up, silence.
Yeah, it was just like credits rolling. There's a couple of scenes that have...
Yeah, it's done very well.
Yeah. Low music in the background, but eating your snacks during this film, everybody's going to notice that you're eating the popcorn because it's just very so very quiet.
Yes.
But
the movie escalates in a way that you don't kind of expect it to escalate. Yeah. And the actress that plays the title character, Rachel, she's really good.
She's really, really good.
Because most of it's done just with her facial expressions and kind of reading her mood. And she's, you don't want to fuck with her.
No.
Just like,
no.
No.
She'll say that.
Don't fuck with this woman. But it's so funny because there was a gaggle of teenagers behind us watching the film.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And I went to the restroom after the movie was over, and the whole gaggle, there was like seven of them, walked into the bathroom, and one of them was like, well, that was like watching an hour and a half of somebody scraping their fingernails down a chalkboard. and then like, why did they call it Lady Macbeth? Because it had nothing to do with Macbeth. And I thought Lady Macbeth was like a romantic character. And I'm like, okay, so you've never read Shakespeare. I get the connection.
So they probably went to see it thinking it was going to help with their paper.
It was like putting Wuthering Heights or something.
Yeah.
I get the connection. Why it's called, well, it's based on a
book. They had a term paper they had to do.
Probably.
They could buy it.
And they thought it was actually Shakespeare.
Notes, so they went to the...
Yeah, they thought it was probably actually Shakespeare. But
crazy.
I get the connection as to why the book was called Lady Macbeth, and it's a Russian book. But it's a very good film. It's very good.
And their teacher will be disappointed.
Yeah, they will be very disappointed.
Yeah. Like, is, yeah, yeah.
What is this paper?
There's no affair in Macbeth.
Well, let's wrap it up by talking a little bit about Star Trek, and then we'll go ahead and end for this week. But tell us the Star Trek.
Yeah, just real quick. It's the 35th anniversary of Star Trek II. Kong! The Wrath of Kong! And it's going to be released at AMC. They're bringing it back on September 10th, which is a Sunday, and then September 13th, which is a Wednesday. So we need to go see it on Sunday, of course, since we do record the podcast on Wednesday. So
yeah.
But that's all. Yeah.
When's the Doctor Who thing?
The
Five Doctors.
Well, the Five Doctors is the 18th of August, 17th or 18th of August.
Okay.
Yeah. I gotta look up tickets.
No, we got tickets.
You got tickets. You got tickets already.
We got tickets.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, we got tickets.
Yeah. Dude!
Tickets!
We bought them together. You deducted part of that from Dragon Con.
I did. Okay, that's right. Okay, I'm about to find out.
You owe me a drink or something, but anyway.
We're good.
Yeah, no, we're good. All right. 17. Well, and also I heard that there's a possibility they're doing a spinoff Con Netflix series, so there's a little bit of a controversy about that.
Based on the filming of it.
Yeah, so
nice.
So it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of it, Disaster Artists, we talked about it, but I just wanted to mention again that people are kind of going I don't know whether people who know The Room are loving the Disaster Artist trailer and people who aren't familiar with The Room.
You're okay, if you're not familiar with The Room, you're going to have to watch The Room prior to seeing the Disaster Artist, or yeah. This is just going to...
Did you read the book?
I did.
Okay. Do you have the book?
It's digital.
Okay.
Mm.
So, I
mean... And I thought he was too... I could tell he was coaching.
Yeah. I don't want to read it, but I wanted to make sure somebody on this podcast had read it so we can compare.
Yeah. I totally read it. So.
Okay, so I won't read it because you've read it. All right, cool. All right, well, Emily, thank you so much for being on here. I know you felt a little bit like at the end of a tennis match watching us bounce around.
Me too. So,
but definitely go and listen to episode 164. She needs your help
to get to
New York Fashion Week. You can see one of your pieces on the art gallery that's on the show notes of all the handbills made into a dress. So definitely go check that out.
And EmilyKramerDesigns.com, Kramer with a K.
Any, what's your next show or event that you're doing besides?
New York Fashion Week and then Charlotte Fashion Week.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then Muggles Market.
Woo! And Muggles Market right after that.
Ooh, so come and check them all out. And if you can't get to New York Fashion Week, check out Charlotte Fashion Week.
That's right.
You can see her stuff.
You'll get to see the dress with your name on it once you donate to my GoFundMe on Charlotte Fashion Week's runway, too.
Right.
So you can see it in person. You can come get your picture taken with it.
And if you come and get a picture with her, you can take a picture with the woman who had lunch with the woman from Game of Thrones costume department.
I'll shake your hand, and then your hand can touch my hand that touched
her hand, that touched the prop.
And now it's creepy.
And I don't want to know where her hand has been. Okay.
And with that, I'm hitting the button.
Please.
Save us.
Hey, has your hand hit the button?
Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Now, if you had done the costumes for Iron Fist, you could be the hand that touched the hand.
Right? Just saying. Hand sauce.
And then you could be like, talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand.
But it would be the actor. Sorry, Chris, for talking over you again.
Goodbye. Bye.